Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Okay, good. All right, Jeff, because it's 11:28 on a Wednesday. This is going to be a special day. It's a momentous occasion in multiple ways for the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast, which is going into your ear holes right now as you're listening through whatever device you may have, you know, maybe even Spotify, who knows. I don't know why you'd want to do it on Spotify. I've listened to podcasts on Spotify before, actually, you know, not terrible. Anyway, so your podcast of choice, the dozens or hundreds or somehow maybe even thousands of listeners who are listening to this, Jeff and Will are here, and there's one more day until actual NFL football. Mm-hmm. And I can't even say actual, because there hasn't been preseason, there hasn't really been training camps, so just any football. And I'm not talking about Middle Tennessee State versus the Citadel or whatever the hell crap has been playing.
Army.
Yeah, because who gives a crap about that? This is real football. This is big boy football. And like I said, momentous. There is a draft tonight. Jeff and I, finally, after 3.5 years of this podcast, we are going to co-own a team with a bunch of randos. You know, not a lot of cash, but, you know, a little bit of chump change because these are some hard times and this is the only way Papa's going to make some money right now. And this time 2 months ago, I'm going on and on, but this time 2 months ago, I remember saying, I'm not into fantasy. And of course, now I'm in 4 or 5 leagues. But I digress, Jeff. I digress. Like I said, big day today. We got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff coming up. Dare I ask the one question that needs to be asked each and every week? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent, Will. You said, football eve out today. Oh my gosh, we got our pod going, we got the draft later on, there's some Skrilla on the table. Don't undersell it, Will. We're not men of great means, but you know, there's some scratch, you know, we got some things going on, we got some things working. Happy to be here with you, Will. Happy to be here with all the listeners. All the Feels Fantasy on Twitter, ATF Fantasy has been popping off. We've been stepping our game up.
Controversy with the ATF handle. Yesterday.
We are not the official podcast Twitter of the ATF, so don't add us on that one. Subscribe, rate, review, share. We're taking it up a notch this season. Well, I'm excited to be here with you. Real football on the horizon. Don't hate on Army and Middle Tennessee, even though it was 42-0 and an absolute slop fest. We have a big matchup tomorrow that I don't know if we're going to get
into that.
Wait,
was that a real match? Was that a real game? I just made that up.
Yes, Middle Tennessee and Army played this past weekend, and it was 42-0 Army. So I wouldn't exactly call it playing. Maybe it was more of a scrimmage. But before we get into all the NFL fantasy pods, power rankings, let's talk about a couple things. I did not watch one episode of Hard Knocks. Give me your general thoughts. How did the two teams, how did the LA vibe work? Like, how many shots of SoFi Stadium were there with players like, wow, this is great. Good thing it's going to be empty to start this season. Hard Knocks, go.
So, you could say you missed it, but I wouldn't say you were missing it, if you know what I'm saying. Not great. It was fine. Also, let me just peek behind the curtain here before we keep going here. I wanted to say I'm getting some electrical work done at the house. Lots of stuff going on behind the scenes here. So I'm not saying I'm going to lose internet because that hasn't happened yet. But if it does, this might be a quite interesting piece together pod. And as always, the wife comes first. So if that happens, I need to race to her rescue because she is currently teaching third grade from her bed, from her office, which is just
doing it for the kids.
It's just terrible what she has to go through. Anyway, Hard Knocks, speaking of terrible, it was fine. Like, it was only fine. Like, what the weirdest part about the finale, and I was reading about this on like the Chargers subreddit, was they really decided to spend a lot of time on Derwin James finally. And, of course, they show his injury, and he's out for the year now. So they finally show, they're like, oh, he's the next great thing, the star of this defense. He should already have his own shoe line. Like, they're already – and then you know, look at these hits he makes in practice. And then it shows him getting hurt. And then the whole team starts, like, asking if he's okay. Hopefully it's a, you're just cramping, right? You're just cramping. And then it just, the somber music plays and he walks off the field. And then it goes to the next scene. No. And it's like, all right, cool. It was literally 10 minutes on him. It's crazy. So there was that. And then they showed a lot of Rams. A lot of Rams last night. Very boring. Thankfully, they cut, like, the most annoying player. And then this guy named DeAndre Dayton, I believe his name is. You know, he's that quintessential guy who's on Hard Knocks that is supposed to be, like, the fan favorite who talks a lot and is very bubbly. But he was very just annoying. He was never funny. He was never bubbly and cool. He was just incredibly unentertaining, which is kind of funny to me because he actually wasn't bad as a player. I thought he was good, which is interesting why they cut him. They cut him, and I thought, well, maybe they cut him because he was super annoying and people hated him. Never know. Yeah. Maybe it's just a locker room, like just a diva. But a lot of time spent on them, and then the ending, like, kind of scene, maybe like the last 2 minutes of all of this season of Hard Knocks, was Jared Goff. And I mean, someone put it to either as a tweet or something very nicely. Well, it is late and I did want to get to sleep early. So that's kind of like how entertaining Jared Goff is. Like, as entertaining as a bag of Fritos. Not like the good Fritos either. I'm sure there's not very good Fritos. But Jeff, that's Hard Knocks. It was cool. People like Anthony Lynn. That's like my big takeaway. Everyone loves Anthony Lynn.
Real players coach.
Real cool guy. And there was a really weird thing in his office. He has like 14 binders that are all labeled Buffalo Bills. And it's like, I know he coached there for a little bit, but I'm not sure why he still has so many damn binders from the Buffalo Bills when he, you know, hasn't coached there in 3 years. But yeah, that's the Hard Knocks thing. Not great.
You'd think you'd break out the label machine and update those.
I never know. Maybe week 11 they play the Bills. You're just getting a big old head start on that.
Oof. That is a lot of competition research. Okay, so glad I didn't spend my time watching Hard Knocks. I feel like I've got the gist of it. I've got the music playing in my head now. Mm. But a show that has come back, season two, you know, I forget what season of the pod we were talking about it, but it's been at least a year, I feel like.
Yeah.
The Boys, season two, Amazon Prime special. For those who need a bit of a refresher, The Boys television show, you know, what if superheroes existed in the world as part of a corporation to fight crime? You know, the superheroes are both good and evil. You know, there's good and evil, you know, normies, I guess, if you will. the first season really centered around one of these normies and this group of boys who are all normies who fight kind of the evil superheroes to try and right some of the wrongs. You know, the main normie's girlfriend was killed by one of the superheroes who runs super fast. And there's been a lot of other, I mean, we don't need to dive into every single plot line.
Like you are.
I forget his name, but the, you know, Breaking Bad, I mean, that has been a subject on this show before, controversial or otherwise. The main villain of Breaking Bad is now somewhat the main villain of Boys Season 2, and that was exciting for me.
Yeah, Gus Fring from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul fame. I think his name is like Stan or something. I can't really – I think it's Stan. But yes, more or less, the season is kind of taking a little behind the scenes of – the superhero corporation part and the kind of hidden drug that they use to become superheroes, and are they born superheroes? Are they really manufactured into them? That's where it's kind of going into. And right now they're doing the kind of Apple TV, Amazon now is doing that with, we're only releasing a couple episodes at a time. That's kind of a little frustrating for me. So only three episodes are out. They're going to be releasing on Fridays. And from what I've read is that if you liked these first three episodes, then you're really going to love the season because it gets way better. And if you don't like these first three episodes, then you need to stick it out for a little bit, because they said it definitely kind of picks up in a little bit. I think so. You've only watched the first two.
Yeah.
And the third episode definitely gets more intriguing. There is a new hero woman. Her name is Stormfront.
I love Stormfront.
Episode three. Yeah. She's in a couple good FX shows too. She kind of revealed, it's very much revealed about what kind of person she is in episode three. So stick it out for that one. I do recommend the show. It is, I mean, Homelander is just the douchiest of the douches. And I just love seeing, you know, if he can ever get taken down. Homelander is, you know, Superman. If Superman was a total douche, like, just, we've
Which
talked about this show.
That Superman is.
Yeah. This is a good assumption about Superman in general, but Superman at least saves people. There is a whole scene from season one where Homelander just lets a plane full of people just die.
Yeah.
Because he does not want the surviving people of this plane, if they were to save them, to reveal what really happened on the plane and all that stuff. So he lets an entire plane die because of just his insecurities and also the stuff that's going on behind the scenes with them. But The Boys season two out on Amazon Prime. Go ahead and give that a watch.
Thus far this season, and maybe you'll tell me episode three, I'm guessing it's going to tie somehow. I'm guessing this is kind of a redemption storyline. I don't know his name, the fish guy with the gills, and the gills are now speaking to him. It's consumed a lot of the second episode, and it's really, really unnecessary. So I will continue, Will. I too recommend it. It is definitely, not a typical superhero movie. This is not Marvel. This is not DC. Kids should not be watching this. But the kids should be watching the football, which, as we mentioned off the top, coming back tomorrow. Whew. The first real taste of the Chantilly cream of leagues, the NFL, our league. Unfortunately, this offseason has been crazy for a number of reasons. Even without all the craziness in the world being the COVID and otherwise, a lot of moves by a lot of big names in fantasy. But one unfortunate move, and I'm waiting for the tropes to come out on Twitter for this team that I think Will, I am down in the dumps on. Von Miller, star of the league, star of, his own spectacles company. I feel like he's always rocking fresh specs. He's out for the year. Broncos defense takes a big hit. How long before the Drew Lock truthers, Noah Fant truthers, Jerry Jeudy truthers, Courtland Sutton truthers, Philip Lindsay truthers, and Melvin Gordon truthers start talking about, well, defense is going to be worse, so they're going to be playing from behind. Expect a lot of stats.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm not a, I'm a Chargers fan, first and foremost. But I do hate seeing, the Chargers lost Derwin James, which is awful. And now, which is arguably their best defensive player, and now the Broncos lose their best defensive player. And from all accounts, Von Miller is the opposite of Homelander. He's actually a really cool dude, and people like him and respect him out the league. And yes, you're right. Now they're going to have to score a lot, maybe very Minshewian, if you will. The Jaguars are going to be so bad that can Minshew give you a Jameis Winston season? Yeah, he's going to throw you 25 interceptions, but they're going to be down the entire time, and he'll just be chucking the ball a lot.
Yep.
You just said it. You're down on the Broncos. I think I'm down on the Broncos with some of the moves they made. I still hate the Melvin Gordon move.
Yep.
I think if they had just Lindsay and all the tight ends and the wide receivers they had, I think it'd make it a more straightforward approach. But now it's, we got to make sure to give our $14 million running back 15 to 20 touches a game, even though Philip Lindsay put on 15 pounds of muscle and proved he could carry a whole season, even though he got a little worn down. But it's one thing to be worn down through the last six game of a season than, and not just handling a workload. He just got a little worn down. He's 23 years old. Give the kid a break. So I'm kind of worried about the offense. But Jerry Jeudy, I've been picking him in fantasy. And I'm definitely. I think I picked him in two teams, to be honest. So I'm excited for that offense, and we'll see if the Drew Lock truthers are proven or if he's just another John Elway QB failure. But you know who's not a failure, Jeff? I'm going to give this a shot. Adrian Peterson, not a failure.
In fact,
some people would say the Lions might not be failures this year either with the kind of moves they've made all year. This one a little mind-boggling. Not mind-boggling, excuse me. A little puzzling for fantasy, but in terms of if I'm relating it to the Broncos, I think they're confusing because they have Phillip Lindsay, who's kind of a proven person. The Lions have had Kerryon Johnson, who's been hurt. DeAndre Swift got hurt. They have Bo Scarborough, who's hurt. So they need a dude who can carry the ball and not get hurt. So this makes sense. Adrian Peterson has only missed 1 year in his career by a freak injury week one, you know, years and years ago. And can he kind of carry the ball for a while until Kerryon Johnson gets better, DeAndre Swift gets better? Yes, I think so. Fantasy purposes, I don't know, but maybe a week or two. Give him a nice little $3,000 run on a DraftKings or something. Maybe get strike gold a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he good for him. I mean, off the street, made some scratch, signed to a team that's decimated by injuries, play for 3-4 weeks, ride the pine, mm-hmm. collect your cash, and make another run at free agency. I mean, I think you make a good point, Will, that I don't think it muddies the Lions situation up as much, mm-hmm. but the Washington football team is now, I have no idea what to believe. I don't think anyone has any idea what to believe because the outlook on that team has changed like a million times. It was all Darius Geis, then he went bye-bye, then it was all Adrian Peterson, then he didn't even make the team. Now it's Antonio Gibson, who everyone is high on his talent. He only had 76 touches in college, of which I believe like over 20 were catches. So we're talking about a running back that only had 50 carries in college. Not great. You know, I think Peyton Barber and Jerick McKinnon and Bryce Love are on this roster, and everyone has thoughts, but no one knows anything. So I have been picking up a couple shares of Antonio Gibson late. I think he's an interesting play
late
on DraftKings. Yeah, late.
I don't even think he's going late anymore. That's for sure. I was in a draft yesterday. He went in like round 7, which again is not what he should do. But I'm just saying, like in our league, the ship. I think I got him in like round 11 or something. But that's just because they still had Adrian Peterson at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't get him late anymore.
Yeah,
but
I think he's going to be rising a lot.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see because, you know, the reports out of camp are all over the place. You'd think he'd slot right into a third down role, but then you got Jerick McKinnon, and the coach is saying he can catch passes. And it's just an absolute mess. I'm going to try to avoid, see how it plays out, and then, to your point, make some fun plays in the DFS world for both the Lions, who you are quite high on, and the Washington football team.
I said bold prediction.
The Cats
are going to make the playoffs, the Lions and the Bengals. One last one, which we didn't touch on last week because it was the curse of the pod. Leonard Fournette goes to the Buccaneers. So the 2016 dream team is now complete with LeSean McCoy, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, I guess Mike Evans. Yeah, Mike Evans was a star in 2016. Leonard Fournette would have been I think Leonard Fournette was a rookie in 2017, actually, so he was still in college. But he was an LSU dream team, so there you go. That still works.
Yeah.
The old team that talk about – so someone drafted Ronald Jones last night, right, as, like, their third running back, and I just gave him the eyes emoji, and he wrote back, any questions? I just didn't – I just want to make – they have 9 running backs. Like, and to draft as Ronald Jones to be the one that you're counting on, they've seen enough Ronald Jones, haven't they? Like, the Buccaneers, they've had a chance. So instead they draft Keyshawn Vaughn, they get LeSean McCoy, they get Leonard Fournette. That kind of tells me that maybe you've seen enough Ronald Jones for me. So does this do anything for whether it's Tom Brady, the receivers, the running backs for you? Or is this just a move that's just going to probably not be mentioned in about 6 weeks?
Yeah, this is just an absolute nightmare situation for all Ronald Jones owners. I feel like the Fournette owners feel like they've been bailed out a little bit. But to your point, I think it's a better NFL move than a fantasy move for any of these players. I think, you know, you're going to have a stable of running backs that should be decent pass blockers for Brady, and should hold on to the football and be able to catch passes. So, yeah, a better NFL move. I can't see Fournette, Ronald Jones, LeSean, any of these guys getting over 20 touches a game, 15 maybe high on a weekly basis for some of these guys. I mean, there's just a lot of options in both in the receiving game as well. And we didn't even talk about Gronk, but the camp reports of the tight end situation in Tampa Bay are just as muddy as now the running back situation. So I'm fortunate that I have zero shares of Ronald Jones and zero shares of Fournette, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and probably zero shares of Gronk, right? I mean, I don't know what you've done with the Gronk situation, but he's stayed pretty late in drafts, I think, in terms of fantasy. Same with Tom Brady.
The ship, but, not so all right, much.
So those are No. So that's the NFL news. I was going to kind of say, let's talk about some predictions, but we got a lot more to talk about here, so I kind of want to push that to either the end of this, or we can do that in another pod. That's a tease. Jeff, any DraftKings stuff this week? Because I wrote it. This is what I did. I called DraftKings Week 1 - The Risk. And the reason I call it this is because this is the one where no one knows anything, right? Same thing with gambling. There's going to be lines that are Jacksonville's +6, but, you know, if this was made 10 weeks later, are they going to be +15 because they're so god-awful? Vice versa, the Colts are favored against them, but is Phillip Rivers going to be so bad that in 5 weeks, the Colts are never going to be favored again? This is just the risky week where you're going to do all these players, you're not sure what's going on. Dude, the Chargers are favored against the Bengals by, like, 4 points. Like, ooh. What? I mean, as a Chargers fan, I'm like, come on now, take the Bengals. Let's go with the points. Whatever. I'm excited to watch the Bengals game. So I'm calling this The Risk because you're just taking players and hope you kind of strike without really knowing a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I'm saying the Jags are going to be bad. So why not go with the Colts? You know, why not take Phillip Rivers at 6,000 going up against the Jaguars? And, you know, let's take the Colts defense at 3,000. Going up against the Jaguars. So two shares of those Colts go against the Jaguars. I don't see anything on the rundown from you. Do you want me to just kind of rattle off the rest of my guys and see if you agree or disagree with any of these?
Yeah, I just want to make a quick point on what you just did, Will. Mm. And I think you called it The Risk. I call it The Risk Reward. Oh, me. You, like, DraftKings, no one knows anything. And so this is the one week where you can make some bets, I feel like, on those players who have changed teams, and they're going to be, in my opinion, if you hit on those that are successful with their new teams, they're going to be undervalued this week because they don't know how to price them appropriately. So someone like the Colts, 3,000, in any normal week, that would be like a bottom of the barrel defense, but now they're going up against Jacksonville, and most consensus is that the Colts defense is going to be much better, if not elite, back to their 2018 form. So something like that, and Rivers at 6K, which is another great option. He can be a good compiler if you want to create some sort of stack, although I don't know who you would stack him with. But I love your other options. So go through some of those.
Another one that I didn't say and I forgot. So, like, just to kick as what you just said, whether it's new teams or rookies or undrafted free agents that are making the team. So a couple that stick out are Brian Edwards, the Raiders rookie receiver, who probably is going to be their number one, or him and Henry Ruggs. Yeah, Brian Edwards, 4,200 going up against the Panthers. Panthers defense, not really sure how that's going to be. And then this is when you get players like what? Antonio Gibson, the Jaguars starting running back, James Robinson. I mean, how much is this guy even? But let's see. I'm on it right now. I'm on wide receivers. I was like, wow, he's not even on here. Sorry, let's start that over. Wow, super cheap. James Robinson. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, 4,000, a little more than I thought, but 4,000 for a starting running back? I mean, you know, whatever.
That's not bad.
So those are the kind of players that, you know, maybe you strike gold with. But I went with Eckler. DraftKings is a PPR, so you want to get those players that are going to catch a lot of passes, especially as a running back. He is the number one Is he going to split time? Of course. I'm sure Justin Jackson will come in a little bit. They drafted Joshua Kelly. And at $7,000, yes, you're paying a decent premium for a guy like Eckler. But that you had Eckler. He's a stalwart for Thug Love and the Nationwide Posse. You know what he can do. And in a PPR, I mean, this guy's going to catch at least five passes. Always has the ability to break a screen pass off for a touchdown. So for $7,000 against the Bengals, that's kind of my guy I'm looking at. So look at that. I got a former Charger in Rivers. I've got a current Charger in Eckler.
I love Eckler in your heads up, your 50-50s, your double up kind of turn games, because his floor is there, like you said. He's got a five catch floor. He's got a 5-for-50 floor. He's got 10 points that he's bringing to you, and at 7K, he really only needs to maybe score or catch a couple more passes for about 20 yards to make his value. So I think he's a super safe play. I don't know about his upside. He last year had a couple games where he had some two-touchdown games and went big, over 100 in the receiving and rushing category. But I love him, to your point. Cincinnati, give me some Eckler and some fitties.
How about Los Angeles? Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods priced exactly the same at $6,500. Sunday night football against the Cowboys in SoFi Stadium. SoFi Stadium. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because usually it's Cowboys Giants. Sunday night football, Cooper Kupp, $6,500. PPR darling. Just an amazing wide receiver. Now he's a full, year and a half removed from that injury. Last year he was great anyway. But I think going with a guy that you know – so to go the opposite side of, hey, let's pick some cheap people where we don't know what they're going to do with the risk. Why don't we pair that with someone like Cooper Kupp and Austin Eckler where you're going to get points. They're not the most expensive option like Christian McCaffrey or Michael Thomas. But you know they're going to get you points. And I think Cooper Kupp against the Cowboys, that should be high scoring. I've heard a couple podcasts say that the new Los Angeles Stadium is going to be like a track field. So fast field. So let's see if these offenses can kind of light up the scoreboard on Sunday night. Cooper Kupp, $6,500.
Love your next one, Will. A guy that I feel like has been forgotten in the wasteland.
Guy. This is your guy.
He's. I saw him and I guess there was a big, I don't know how much you saw this. Obviously, there was the Odell Beckham controversy yesterday. I guess he likes getting pooped on. We won't spend a ton of time on that. But there was like four or five tight ends that were part of like a Charmin ad about like the role of the tight end. And it was like a play. And at the end of the day, they all came out advertising toilet paper, I guess. And this is all to say that Zach Ertz is looking trim. He's looking fit. And most importantly, there are very few other pass catchers on that roster that are fully healthy at this time. So 5,800 versus Washington football team. Are they at home or are they away? I guess it really doesn't matter in this year of COVID. And it's early, so anything outdoors won't really matter. I like the pick, Will. I want to get your take. One last thing on DraftKings. The one player that they did, I think, go bold on from a pricing perspective, because this player was the stalwart of DK last season, is Christian McCaffrey. He's already at 10 grand.
There's someone
which I think it took him like 5 weeks to get to that last week after he was putting up 40 a week. And now he's at 10 grand, pretty much where he stayed all of last year. What do you think
about Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, do you think he's going to be worth the price?
I mean, they're against the Raiders. Is this the week to do it? I don't think so. I don't think so because let's. Oh man, to go 10K on a guy where he's part of the main part of their offense, but this is again a just to keep troping it out here. We don't know anything yet. We probably will never know anything. But to spend $10,000 on a week one person where they're going to have to get you 25 points for you to even feel comfortable with that, I just don't see myself doing it, especially with all the other unknowns going in. This, I think, is the week to do what I kind of mapped out here, right? You know, Ertz is $5,800. All these guys are around $6,000, right?
Yep.
That's the average you can do. If you do everyone at the same price, I think, what is it, $58.33 or something like that?
Three.
When you average it all out, And if you get that Colts defense, obviously the average jumps up a little bit. So I think playing it safe and just getting a bunch of guys who hover around the 6,500 mark to make sure you're getting all those floors. And yeah, you want to get one dude who's at 4,000, you think it's going to be super sneaky, and then spend a little bit more to get a Michael Thomas or someone who's 8,000. Then that's the play. But spending 10,000 and just now you are banking on Antonio Gibson or yeah. Brian Edwards or James Robinson. Like, I don't know if that's something I would do this first week.
Yeah, and you need McCaffrey to smash his value to make up for if those people don't show
up. Yeah, make up for your 4 points that you get from James Robinson or whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the Odell thing, so in my – we're going to go over this next league. I'm in another 10-team league I just drafted last night, two quarterback league, yeah. keeper league, blah, blah, blah. So my keepers were Mike Evans, Travis Kelce, and Joe Mixon, your boy. So my next receiver, my first receiver I actually drafted after Mike Evans as my keeper is Odell. So my number one wide receiver is Mike Evans. My number two wide receiver is Odell. So my new team name is Odell Beckham is my number two. I think that's a pretty good name.
That's not bad.
All things considered. Odell is my number. It's called. Oh yeah, Odell is my number two. There you go. I think that's a good team name. People, he likes to get pooped on. Okay, so new year, new draft, Raft Pool League, the Chantilly Cream League. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you because I was reading about this, Fantasy Circles, and this is a fantasy podcast. And when we first started, we did like to kind of put things in layman's terms, right? We wanted to, for like the people who don't play a lot of fantasy who listen to this, like what are these terms that we're saying, right? And I want to know, so this league we're doing is a 10-team super flex league. So in the flex position, you can do a quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, or running back. Jeff, what is the actual like definition or reason for the flex position?
Well, I mean, it stands, I believe, for flexible, meaning that you can start multiple different position types in your flex spot. Now, in terms of the philosophy, I guess, if you will.
Yes.
Flexes, I believe, were incorporated to obviously add another element of fun to fantasy, but also to deal with questions around scarcity of positions. So in a kind of normal flex league where you can start a wide receiver, tight end, or running back, it gave you more options. It made the draft more fun, right? Because it gave you a little bit more nuance of, I could go wide receiver, tight end, or running back here to fill out my flex spot. On a week-to-week basis, it also provides you flexibility to move other, you know, move players in and out of that roster. Versus, I believe, you know, in the beginning, there were a lot of three wide receiver leagues.
Mm-hmm. Those still exist, which is crazy.
Which I believe was to try and balance out how dominant running backs were, those bell cow running backs. But since that's gone away and the three wide receiver has gone away, the flex, super flex, multiple tight end is another kind of new league format that's becoming more prominent, or differential points based on position is becoming more popular. And it's just to try and balance out the things that we talk about, right? Running back is super scarce. There's only a couple bell cows that are getting, you know, a ton of their volume every week. The rest are in committees. Wide receiver is super deep, and there's tons of risk and variance across all of them. And then tight end, other than really the top two, maybe four, is an absolute garbage heap wasteland that should only be ventured into if you have to. And then our league, Raftpool, the Chantilly Cream of League, one of our leagues, is a super flex league, meaning you can add quarterback into that mix now. And we do a super flex PPR to add quarterbacks as an option. It's not a two quarterback league where you have to start two quarterbacks, but the full PPR, I feel like, balances well with the quarterback in that your quarterbacks aren't scoring an obscene level of points over your wide receivers, and it also brings a lot more running backs into the fold that you can start have as starters or in your flex position. How did I do, Will?
Well, There is no shortage of content there. That is for sure. So I'm going to agree and disagree with you, at least in terms of what I read. So
there are tomes of
knowledge.
So what I read,
and I agree with what I read, not that I don't agree with you, of course, my esteemed co-host. It first came about from, again, this is all from the internet article, and who even knows, it could be false. It all came about when the times of games started changing a lot more. Where there was a lot more 4 o'clock games. There started to become Sunday night games, Thursday night games, Monday night games. Once the Thursday night games started coming into play and Thanksgiving, all that stuff, fantasy became more popular. They wanted to institute that flex position so that you put your later times, that should be reserved for your people who are playing at later times. So the Sunday night games, the Sunday 4 p.m. games, the Monday night games. That position is so that you're flexible to change it in and out with someone else who are playing in those time slots. Since, of course, your players lock when their game starts, but your whole team doesn't lock until said player starts. That flex position is supposed to be if you have Odell Beckham, and he's on the Browns, and they're playing Monday Night Football, you keep Odell Beckham in that spot because if he gets hurt, then you'll put in another Browns player last second. You can put another Browns player or the team that they're playing against, as opposed to keeping him in your wide receiver one spot for a Monday Night Football game. He gets hurt, you can only put another wide receiver there. You can't put a running back there. You can't put a tight end there. So that is the reasoning and theory behind the flex spot. And when people say, and we've done this before, right? Hey, would you start Antonio Gibson this week? Oh, maybe as a flex. Well, by that theory and that definition doesn't make any sense. Because maybe you would say as my third running back I would start him as. So from the definition I saw, and I agree with, there's no hate here, but I kind of like what they're saying is it should be for reserve. Put Odell Beckham, put Derrick Henry in your flex spot because he plays at Monday night at freaking 11 p.m. God forbid something happened to Derrick Henry. But if you have him in your running back one spot, and at 8 p.m. on Monday night they say he can't play, you're going to put in Deion Lewis and that's it. Because you can't put in any receivers or tight ends or anything. So there you go. That's it. That's true. That's the flex thing right there. There you go.
Yeah, the one thing I would maybe add is that it's less about the freak accident and more about, like, this guy's been injured all week. Let me put him in my flex.
Yeah.
It could be a game-time decision.
Exactly.
I have other options.
Exactly. Like instead of just another running back I have to put in. I can put in the other two positions, or, like, you have in this league, the Superflex League, a quarterback. So let's get here. This Superflex League, 10 teams. I mean, this is going to be a doozy of a season. We've got a couple new players. We've got the esteemed essential, the same 6 or 7 who've been playing every season. 10 teams, no kickers. There is defenses, and it's most likely 2 quarterbacks starting on every lineup. But as we saw from someone like Orange Rush, I think last year,
yep,
he did not start. I think he had Eckler. It's hard for me to remember. This changes a lot, but he always had like a running back in that flex position. So. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts so far? I know you hated your team. I got stuck in a auto draft for a couple of my picks because I was at work and got super busy and, of course, totally forgot. And then internet connections abound. I was still able to select a good amount of people on my core team. So, Jeff, give me the rundown here. How do you feel about your team? apparently you're scheduled to finish, let's see, second. So.
Yeah, don't trust these Yahoo bozo jamokes robots who are, coming in with these grades. I got a B grade and I'm supposed to finish second, and I absolutely hate my team. I mean, just to give you a quick rundown, Pat Mahomes, I got DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson and my wide receivers, so decent PPR potential there. I got Kamara. And, we'll see what happens. I got Gurley. Gurley, another potential interesting little fan. DraftKings, not sure where he's going. I got Noah Fant after I trashed the Broncos offense earlier. Starting tight end. And then I got Big Ben. could be Bionic Big Ben by the time this happens. In my flex, I got Terry McLaurin and, you know, Antonio Gibson, Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's potential in this team. There's just a lot of questions. Like, what is DeAndre Hopkins? Who is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears? What does Todd Gurley look like? Who is Noah Fant? And does Big Ben come back healthy? So, and I mean, that's a lot of questions.
All that equates is a number two finish, according to Yahoo.
Yeah, it's insane. And I'll talk about, I mean, Greg's team, who was number one, and who didn't. I think his team is also has a ton of questions. I mean, the best part about Greg's team is he probably has a floor of 50 points every week because he's got Christian McCaffrey and Lamar Jackson, both who are slated for 25 points apiece in their projections.
Yeah.
He also has Chris Godwin, which you like, Tyler Lockett as well. But then, I mean, the bottom half you don't love. He's got David Johnson, another huge question mark. What's going to happen there? Hunter Henry could be fine. We'll see how long he lasts in the season. And then Kirk Cousins as his only other quarterback on his roster. I just didn't love it from a PPR perspective and the questions of David Johnson. I thought for a 10-team league, this team is pretty shallow in the running back category. He's got Fournette and J.K. Dobbins on his bench. But, I mean, you can do worse with Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey. That is supposed to be the best team in our league currently.
Breaking news, Dan Hansis on Good Morning Football right now on my TV. Yeah, it is supposed to be the best team, and just reading his team, you can tell where his first two picks went. His first two picks went to Christian McCaffrey and Lamar Jackson. And then I guess his third pick was David Johnson?
I mean, yep.
Or Chris Godwin? I don't know. I actually couldn't even tell you who his third pick was.
Chris
Godwin. Yeah. For his running, yeah, his wide receivers. So, just so you can get our theories on this, Tyler Lockett, not a great PPR receiver.
No.
A guy who's going to get three catches for 70 yards, probably. So, that's still 10 points. But he's a very, like, Tyreek Hill, people could say, is not a big, good PPR receiver, but Tyreek Hill's so good that he'll get 120 yards on two catches. So, that part doesn't really matter.
Yep.
So his running backs, yeah, we're looking at a 10-team league, and he only has four running backs, and two of them are starters. David Johnson being your number two running back, a little scary, but we don't know. We have no idea how he's going to be on this new team. That could be
see tomorrow.
That could be a good DraftKings play, maybe. I don't know how much he is, just because, again, new face on a new – or old face on a new team. Who knows? So that's number one, right? So I'm not even going to go to number nine. I was going to go to number nine, go to Joe's team. We might talk to him later. That's a tease. But let's go to Jason's team. So Jason's team, he's the commissioner of the ship. He supposedly, according to Yahoo, has the worst team as a draft. All right, so let's take a look here. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Juju, Dalvin Cook, James Conner, Higbee, who cares? Higbee, by the way, as good as Kelsey, apparently. And Mark Ingram. Okay, so his quarterback's not great. Excuse me. He has Matt Ryan. He has a second quarterback, but right now he has Mark Ingram starting over Daniel Jones. His running backs are absolutely solid. His skill positions are great. Julio, Juju, Dalvin Cook, James Conner, Mark Ingram.
Love that.
That's a pretty good group of five players right there.
Yep.
Yeah, tight end, whatever. And he's got only one solid quarterback with Matt Ryan. But compare this team with Greg's team, just straight up, and no biases here. What do you think?
Oh, I like Jason's team a lot more.
Oh,
I think
wow.
You know,
wow.
The Julio Matt Ryan in a PPR is about as money in the bank as you can get. I mean, that's ton of volume right there. You know, James Conner doesn't have to perform as an RB1 on this team. He can just be the bell cow and put up. Mark Ingram is a great other option. I mean, he's got good PPR wide receivers and Michael Gallup and Sterling Shepard on his bench, and then the eternal James White, if he's in a pinch in a PPR, isn't bad. Yeah, tight end is the only glaring, question mark for me. I'm not a big Higbee guy.
But look who his bench is.
And he's got Gronk, so he's got the balance there. If Gronk turns out to be, 80% of old Gronk, he can slot him in there. And it's a very strong team. I had him falling out at number five in my preseason power rankings. So right there at the middle, liked it.
Power rankings, what are those?
What are power rankings?
Yes, okay, segue to the next segment. Okay, review Wrathful and Ship power rankings. Wow. All right.
Well, we kind of talked about it. Power rankings, we don't believe here at All the Feels Fantasy in your Jamoke robot rankings based on their, you know, internal rankings. So if I view the rankings as, you know, if you get an A, it's because you're a Yahoo shill who only listens to Yahoo advice, wow. Which I like Andy Behrens. I think he's a fine fantasy analyst, nothing against him, but the rankings themselves, I don't believe are an accurate reflection of your team's potential. And that's why we at the All the Feels Fantasy podcast want to bring power rankings to the masses. Custom power rankings, custom pods, hit us up. We're on the Twitter, ATF Fantasy. But let's get into our team, our leagues, rather, Will. We've been talking about Wrathpool. You want to hit that one off the top. 10th, Prestige Worldwide, my team. I talked about it. Lots of question marks, lots of potential for upside. 9th, we talked about Greg's team and everything that is good and bad about that. Then I had Want to Play a Game, which is Scotty trying to play off Muff a little bit there with his name.
Very, I know. You know what's confusing. So funny? I actually thought it was Muff. I actually thought that was Muff, but Muff's not in this league.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's got Kenyon Drake and Austin Hooper, not a ton of depth. I don't love it. I think he's going to have some start sit issues on a week to week basis. So he's at 8th. Number 7, Orange Rush. I think he's a 2-time champion. And yeah. I want to get your take on his team, Will. Am I being too hard? I always knock him because I never love his quarterbacks. He's got Tom Brady, yeah. He's got Joe Burrow, and he's got Drew Lock as his quarterbacks. I mean, he's going with this strategy where he's not starting 2 QBs, and he's got a decent team otherwise. I think Edwards-Helaire is the big, linchpin of this roster. If he turns out to be a PPR stud, then I think his team will be competitive. Right now, you know, I don't know. There's another guy with the last name Williams on the Chiefs roster who's now saying that he could get some touches. So it's not he may not be the bell cow from week one. He's got Chris Carson coming off that injury. Solid DJ Moore and Devontae Adams in his wide receivers and depth. So, I mean, the guy knows how to draft. I don't love his quarterbacks. I've never been a fan. And what do I know? I've never won this league of not starting 2 QBs in a super flex. So what do you think of Orange Rush's team?
Another great little coincidence. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on Good Morning Football right now. And they're talking to him. The strange fact that I did not know about Andy Reid. So Andy Reid's been in the league forever, 20 plus years. He's never drafted a running back in the first round until this year. So I guess that means Clyde Edwards-Helaire must be the real deal. Only time he's ever drafted one. So just to kind of go off that, I think Joe Burrow is Orange Rush's kind of possible canary in the coal mine. That's the thing, right? Because if Joe Burrow ends up becoming that guy who gets you 15, 20 points, he becomes his super flex. And that's getting a guaranteed 15 to 20 is better than any, you know, possible running back that you could have, third running back or third wide receiver. So yes, the first couple weeks he might have to tinker with some options. Is he going to just start? He'll just start skill position players till he gets to the quarterback that he likes. But I can't doubt him anymore. This dude always ends up making a run to the finals. So Orange Rush, and he is a Broncos fan. So, you know, that's why he probably has Drew Lock. So he's a team to watch out for. I can understand. I can understand putting 7th to start, though.
Okay. I'm glad. I feel vindicated now. Yeah, running back depth is also not great. I mean, if Cam Akers doesn't pan out or Zach Moss doesn't pan out, then could be in a little bit of hurt, but it's a 10-team league, so not as shallow there. Number 6, honor of captain Andrew Luck. Sam Hahn drafting the day. He was in a time warp drafting in the future. As we were drafting on Sunday, he was drafting on Monday. From Korea. Thank you for your service, Samwise Gamgees. I liked his team. He talked about he has two players that we talked about. He's got that Cooper Kupp, Austin Eckler in a PPR. Russell Wilson and Michael Thomas, stalwarts. And I guess this is going to become a theme for those, that aren't in the top tier, that don't have a top to bottom solid roster. I mean, he's got Jared Cook, Jonathan Taylor, who I don't know if he'll be starting the season, but he's got him in a starting lineup, and Jared Goff, which is fine, I guess, for your flex. He's got Calvin Ridley. He's got that dreaded Miami running back tandem, which I think will be the most frustrating thing to own. He's got Hollywood Brown and Dallas Goedert as his second tight end, which is fine. I think I just fell in love with, I mean, you look at those top four in a PPR and you just start salivating. I mean, I can't help it. So that's why he came off at six to me.
So I do think, yes, his first four players are great. Other than that, I do think it's a lot of question marks. After the first couple weeks, we'll see. I think he's another one, like Orange Rush we just talked about. After the first 3 weeks, he should have a good feeling. Is Jonathan Taylor getting all the carries? Is it Jordan Howard? Is it Matt Breida? Then he'll be more comfortable putting someone in that second running back spot. But if none of those three pan out, then he's going to have to find something else, because those are his only running backs on his roster. After Eckler, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm not as scared of his team as I possibly could be of Orange Rush. I say you could flip-flop these two, actually.
Yeah, they're very close, very close. Orange Rush, I think, could go there. We talked about Jason's team coming at fifth. Let's talk about your team, fourth. I like your team, Will. That's probably just because we like a lot of the same guys. So, I mean, we're probably biased in that way. I'll give it a rundown. Give me your thoughts, and then I'll give you mine. Josh Allen, he's in your QB1 spot, the running back, Josh Allen. OBJ and a bunch of Diggs dudes out here. Stephon Diggs are your wide receivers. Zeke Elliott, Aaron Jones, some solid RBs there. George Kittle, the beast himself at tight end. And then our boy, Matt Stafford, in your flex. You also have Melly G, AJ Green, CeeDee Lamb, Jameson, the PPR stud, Crowder, Blake Jarwin, who I've seen a lot of, people getting spicy on him. And then Phillip Rivers, the age-old man himself, and the last spot on your bench. How do you feel about this team?
I'm not happy about it. I was auto-drafted a lot. Yeah, I would never take Melvin Gordon ever. And he got auto-picked right when I signed in. I had 4 seconds left. And I think I went to take a quarterback and just whatever. So my first three were auto-picks. It was Zeke, Aaron Jones, and George Kittle, for the love of God. I never would have taken George Kittle. I'm so down on the
George
Niners.
Kittle was auto-drafted?
Yeah, the first three. Wow. So that meant the picks that were me were Odell, Stephon Diggs, both quarter... Oh, no, I did not take Josh Allen. I did not take Jarwin. Get out of here with that. Why the hell would I take a backup tight end? Oh, my God. AJ Green I took, and Jameson Crowder I took. And then I think I put, Rivers in my queue just because I ended up signing off because I had to go back to work. I was really – when I signed on and saw I had Zeke and Aaron Jones, I was like, okay. And then I saw I had Kittle, and I was like, oh, okay. But,
so did I just reverse troll myself after I just went on this whole thing saying that, if you like Yahoo rankings, you're an absolute Yahoo fantasy football show, and then your team was half auto-drafted, and
I really hate it because Melvin Gordon, I totally could have had someone else better. Like, instead of drafting Kittle, I probably could have had a number one, not that Odell's not a number one, but I could have had a legit number one. I mean, I could look at the draft if I wanted to, but hey, I'll make some tweaks. I'm fine with it for as many auto drafts as I had. So, George Kittle was my second round pick. Oh my God.
Oh my word. So Aaron Jones was your third.
Yeah, that's okay. So then again, a steal. So I could have had, right? I could have had, I probably would have went. So DeAndre Hopkins went after George Kittle. Greg took Chris Godwin before DeAndre Hopkins or Adam Thielen. I don't know. I would have taken Adam Thielen. I would have taken, So just substitute George Kittle for Adam Thielen or DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe that'd be better. But I digress. I'm in fourth thanks to Jeffrey, and I'll take it for now, and we'll see how this season shapes up. If Josh Allen, the running back, ends up being Josh Allen, the running back, then I think my team's great. I have three quarterbacks that I'm comfortable with starting at any point. So,
yeah,
that's kind of the theory with these two quarterback leagues.
Yep. Number three, I had
is this Book Kyle? Of
Book of Eli. Yes, Kyle. Okay. Kyle Murphy, brother-in-law. his team, I think, has plenty of targets to go around between Darren Waller, Adam Thielen, and Amari Cooper. He's got some big, chunky running backs in Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs, who some say will increase his pass-catching volume. And then he's got a good balance in his quarterbacks. He's got Kyler Murray, so he's got the upside play balanced with the former MVP Aaron Rodgers. And then he's got a pretty solid lineup on his bench. I mean, Robert Woods isn't even starting for him. He's got the fifth if he needs an upside play, and Emmanuel Sanders was his last pick. Maybe a little heavy in the Las Vegas Raiders category, but he is a Raiders fan. What do you think of Kyle's team?
Oh, I thought you were already segueing into your number two. I think it's good. I like it better than my team. Kyle has been a notorious, he's been very competitive. Didn't he win it? Who won it last year?
I think Jose won it last year, but.
Again, oh man, that piece of crap. Freaking Broncos fan. Anyway. Yeah, so I forgot it was Kyle. You know, I thought want to play a game with Muff. I thought Scotty was this, so then I saw it. Anyways, Cooper is whatever. But I think I would maybe do Woods. I don't know. I hate to say I don't know, but these first couple weeks, you kind of want to see how some of these players play out. Yeah. So does Cooper get a lot of those points? Does Robert Woods get a lot of those points? Ashley Soyce make a surprise appearance. Come here. You're allowed to come in.
Internet's up.
Internet's working. Are you good? They have so because of that outlet, they're making another light switch. Did you see that? Yeah, they're like, because he's like, I have no idea what's going on with this. He's like, this is the weirdest wiring I've ever seen. He's like, I don't want to mess with it because I don't want to mess you guys up. He's like, I'm going to make another one and you can always fix it later. Like, it's just what he's saying. Yeah, this house, Jeff. We have light switches here that control we have two different light switches that control the same light. Like, multiple times throughout the house.
Yeah.
And one of them is the internet. So that's what got messed up earlier.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But, babe, you should have seen me. Jeff was texting me, and I was like, I ran into your room. I was like, are you good? And you're like, no. I was like, oh, God. So then I knew it. I knew something was going on. So I had to make them fix it. Yeah. Anyways, we're almost done. Okay, me too. We have no food.
What do I eat? Where's my veggie thing?
I don't know. All right. Love you. Yeah. It's called editing, babe. All right. All right. So I was talking about Kelsey. So we got an excellent interruption from the wife there. Everything's good on the classroom end. Thank goodness. These electricians are like literally. They pulled off that light switch when I told them it turned off the internet. They're like, I didn't touch anything. I was like, this one. And I pointed. So we have a hall, you know, like our foyer, if you will.
Oh.
And a light switch over there controls our internet too, which we have tape on it. Like, don't, you know, just as a getaway of saying no one ever touches the switch when you come in the house because it turns off like our entire pretty much like our entertainment system. So
yeah.
He took one look at it and was like, all right, I'm just going to create a new light switch for you guys. Like, so we're going to have two freaking things over there. Anyway, all right. So back to Kyle Murphy's team and just, like, not knowing the first couple weeks what's going on in the season. Like, I really like Will Fuller, to be honest. I think he could be a really cool DraftKings play the first couple weeks because who knows what's going on with that team. So he has depth and maybe not depth of stars at wide receiver, but he's got depth of players that can make an impact. I think the one thing is, which he was obviously super confident about, was his running backs, right? Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs. So he just didn't pick anyone else after that. Like, yeah, he has David Montgomery at one point during the season and Tevin Coleman, and that's it. And that's as he should have done, right? Like, you're super confident with your studs. Don't pick anyone else.
Totally. Coming in number two, another Raiders fan who always, I guess, finds a way into my heart. In these preseason power rankings, but as last year showed, he ended up in kind of the dumpster real quick. Derek Derek's team. He's got Carson Wentz. He's got a couple of studly second-year receivers, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. He's got Saquon and Miles Sanders in his running backs, Travis Kelce filling out his tight end, and Ryan Tannehill as his other quarterback. He's got Baker Mayfield on his bench. He's got Raheem Mostert, who a lot of people are high on. He's got Devin Singletary for some running back depth. Tariq Cohen, he'll probably drop him. You know, my boy Marvin Jones on his bench, as well as Debo. I just thought a lot of different ways he could go. He's got a lot of upside on this team. Whether it will pan out on a week-to-week basis, who knows. I just like the combination. He's got running back depth that I think people that he can start as the season kind of progresses, even if Miles Sanders doesn't explode as everyone is predicting.
I hate this team. I don't like it at all. Sorry, Derek. First of all, you said funny quote, or not quote, but just funny thing you said was like, oh, yeah, he'll probably end up dropping Tariq Cohen. Well, the Yahoo experts have him projected for 15 points, I guess because of the Montgomery injury. I mean, his starting quarterbacks are Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill, and yes, he has Mayfield too, but I'm not confident in those three. I mean, maybe if Mayfield was the second one, but we are notorious Eagles, not fans, on this pod. And for Miles Sanders to be, you know, your starting one, Carson Wentz to be starting your quarterback, and then you got your wide receivers, like, he has Debo Samuel, who might play week one, apparently, but eventually down the line, he's going to be okay, but he's not your number one. A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf aren't screaming at me as, like, two stalwarts. D.K. Metcalf is very boomer bust. I don't think this team's very good. I'll just flat out say it. Again, sorry, Derek.
Fair enough. And I think, you know, that'll be determined on the score sheet.
That's why they play the game.
That's why we play the game. So, you know, we'll talk to Joe, right? Yes. Joe is the other one. Joe was my favorite team, just to give him some love on the early. Deshaun Watson, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Nick Chubb, Le'Veon Bell, Zach Ertz, Drew Brees. I mean, that is top to bottom, in my opinion. No big glaring holes. Some people would say maybe Le'Veon Bell, but he has Marlon Mack as an option in the early part of the season. He's got Evan Ingram on his bench. He's got DeAndre Swift. We'll see if anything comes of that. He's got the PPR monster, Julian Edelman, and then Jonnu with kind of another tight end option. Not sure why you're rostering three tight ends, I guess. Him on that, but I think it's solid. I think he's got the upside in the wide receivers. He's got the core in the running backs and quarterbacks. I think PP Face, what a way to come into the league.
Yeah, definitely going to get some golden showers on all of us here. The three tight ends thing, maybe that's why Yahoo gave him the ninth best team. Because they were like, what are you doing? It is strange that he has Zach Ertz and Evan Ingram. I will give you that. Maybe he thinks one of them will outscore one of his quarterbacks at some point. I don't know. But for your like three, I mean, his top four, we were just talking about Kyle's top, someone else. Who was the other top four? We were just kind of comparing. Whoever's it was with Russell Wilson. I don't know. Maybe Jason. I think this top four is the best top four. Deshaun Watson, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Nick Chubb. Like, those are all pretty much first round picks in 12 team leagues, right? I mean, with the exception, yeah. Well, not Deshaun Watson, but those other three are first round picks, or, you know, first round, second round picks. So, and a PPR, great job by PP Face, aka Joe. That is Joe's team name, babe. PP Face. All right, that's the Raft Pool rankings.
The ship.
Let me get those ones up.
We'll start at the bottom. If I can pull up the ship here very quickly.
Too many power rankings. That's why I'm just... There we go. I got it.
Too many power rankings. Bottom of the league. As of the writing of these power rankings, we didn't know what Fournette's situation was going to be. But this is oppressed, which is Dave, starting off at the bottom. Yeah. And I think it may just be a difference of opinion on some players. He's got Pat Mahomes, Kenny Galladay, Tyler Boyd, Miles Sanders, and Fournette are his starting running backs. He's got the Higbeast in his tight end spot.
Higbees, too.
The Higbees. Cam Akers in his flex. He's got Sammy Watkins, Noah Fant. Yeah, and just some other, you know, other players at the old bottom of that one. I mean, you love Mahomes. And I like Golladay. And that's about all I like about this team.
Yeah, I think it's the unknown with the running backs situation. The Miles Sanders, we've already talked about that, how we feel about him and the Eagles. Cam Akers, after 2 weeks, Cam Akers might be the guy. He might not be, though. And same goes with Fournette. So you got pretty much three question marks at running back when it comes to Jeff and I. Wide receivers-wise, great with Kenny Golladay, but Tyler Boyd, like, is he gonna be the guy? With Cincinnati, the new quarterback, A.J. Green, might be coming back a little slower than his usual self. But in a 12-team league, I understand it is a little deeper. But I think just kind of this shows what happens when you don't prioritize running back in a deep league like that and a league that has keepers too. So he went Miles Sanders first, and then he went Kenny Golladay. And after that, that's kind of just you see where his running backs stand. So let's just kind of compare and move up the chain and see how he looks compared to like the 11th, 10th, all that stuff. So 11th, you have Mazzaretti, my personal favorite team, as always. Favorite to lose against.
Yep.
So we can just compare him straight up to this team who has, let's see, he has only one quarterback. No, he has two quarterbacks on his roster. So Josh Allen, Julio, Coop. I feel like he owns Amari Cooper every year. Josh Jacobs, Ronald Jones. Wow, another Buccaneers running back. Hunter Henry, Cooper Kupp. So what are your thoughts on that team right there?
Well, I think you like the wide receivers, and we like Josh Jacobs. You know, as of my ranking of 11, Adrian Peterson had been cut but not signed. And I don't even know if Fournette had been re-signed at that time, but, you know, what is Ronald Jones now? I mean, you don't know. I mean, Adrian Peterson probably isn't, like, maybe he's getting a couple touches week one, and maybe you can fill him in then.
You mean Fournette, not Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking. Are you talking about?
I'm saying. Yeah. He has Adrian Peterson on his bench and might be able to start him in place of Ronald Jones, depending on how those situations evolve. You know, I like Hunter Henry. I'm not huge on him. I'm obviously not a Josh Allen, you know, truther. So there's the core of wide receivers, but I don't think they're such that they're going to provide such an advantage on a week to week basis. I think, you know, if last year taught us anything, Amari Cooper and Cooper Kupp can both disappear for many weeks out of the year. I'm guessing that they'll probably each put up 35 against you, Will, in week one and kind of prove us wrong. Yeah.
Of course.
But I just think compared to some other teams, this is not my favorite and a lot of issues.
Just to give a backstory on this Mazzaretti matchup, notoriously I lost Thanksgiving week last year or 2 years ago, which was it was a must win for me to get to the playoffs. I notoriously lost because Mazzaretti picked up and started LeGarrette Blount on the Lions Thanksgiving Day, and he had 29 points.
Yeah.
Unreal. And that knocked me out of the playoff contention. So that's just how my luck goes when I play against him. And I think LeGarrette Blount scored 29 points the rest of the season after that. So that's Mazzaretti at 11th. I can't argue that right there. But 10th, I might argue a little bit with here. Bluey.
Yeah.
The Brandon Hatch, Casey Cummings co-managed team. The trolley of the trolls. Give me your backstory here and give me why you gave them the ranking you did.
Yeah, I think it has to do with is you go down the first five names and you're loving this team. Yes. And then it's solid. You got Deshaun Watson, Allen Robinson, Juju, Zeke Elliott, James Conner. And you're like, oh, this team is primed for success.
Oh, yeah.
Then we got Gronk, which who knows? Could be great. Could be a zero. Devontae Parker. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea what Devontae Parker is going to be. Then I think the bench is what really got me. I think they're like, I like Mecole Hardman. I don't think it's going to be hard to play him. Maybe he's your flex. DeAndre Swift, who knows? I mean, like we talked about, avoiding Detroit running backs. Tony Pollard is just a handcuff. Yeah, I don't feel great about the bench and the tight end and the flex. And for that reason, I think that's why I put him down. If he gets a couple of breaks, like DeAndre Swift becomes the number one and takes mm-hmm. control, or, you know, Devontae Parker continues to, put up in Miami and kind of his resurgence after many years of being hyped. That could turn out well, but right now, it's going to be hard, and there is no backup tight end.
That's Gronk, literally what I was just about to say,
which could just turn into a nightmare.
So I think his team is really good. Like you said, the first five players, that could be 100 points every week. Like they can get a combination of 20, 25, 18, 20, and 25 from those five players. I guess Allen Robinson, notwithstanding, he could be a little bit of a stinker, depending on that situation. But to have not – and I'm not a big backup tight end guy. Don't draft backup tight ends. But if it is going to be someone like Gronk, who even knows what's going to happen with him, if he's even in good shape, if he can last a whole season, if he wants to really play a whole season, to not have a backup for that scenario is a little risky. And that last position, that last flex position where he has Devontae Parker there. If DeAndre Swift ends up getting healthy and becoming the guy, perfect. You can slot him in there. Maybe Brandon Ayuk becomes someone who can be exciting to put in, maybe. Or maybe Devontae Parker ends up hitting. But other than those two question marks, I think it's easily better than the teams under him. So we'll see what happens in your rankings compared to the teams above him. So who's next on that list?
Yeah, and now that I'm looking at Twinkies, I would probably be Bluey ahead of this team.
Already, mid-season form.
Yeah. So Twinkie's starting lineup right now. He's got Drew Brees, Calvin Ridley, Michael Gallup, Joe Mixon, Jonathan Taylor, Hayden Hurst, and David Johnson. He also has Cortland Sutton on his bench, and AJ Green, and then a bunch of potential upside plays. He's got Zach Moss, which people are high mm-hmm. on, could as a potential complement or replacement for Devin Singletary on early downs. Yeah, I think this was just more about – I felt like it was a solid team. I felt like this team can put up 90 to 100 points so every week, but I don't think they're scoring 130, 140. Mm. So that's why I had them kind of lower, bottom half. I would definitely put Bluey ahead of them. I mean, that top five, to your point, is probably scoring 100 a week. I think it was just – guys that I thought were maybe being undervalued, like a Michael Gallup. I like Cortland Sutton. I'm not big on Calvin Ridley, but Joe Mixon. If Jonathan Taylor kind of takes control, beats out Marlon Mack later in the season, this team could have some potential. And Lord knows what Hayden Hurst is going to be. So no backup there as well.
Also, I'm not a big fan of Drew Brees. Who knows what he's going to do?
He's fine.
He's fine.
He's 16 to 20 points.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Number eight.
Number eight is my team. Give me your take. Look at take you on
this,
my team.
Well. This humility here. Well, I was gonna look at your description, but instead I'll just go to your team in general. Let's see, Thug Love. All right. So I liked it. I mean, yes, we kind of touched on it, right? During all of our mock drafts, I was able to call a couple of your picks. Called the Le'Veon Bell. I mean, listen, your three running backs right here: Barkley, Eckler, Le'Veon Bell. You still have Tevin Coleman, Carlos Hyde, and Madison. I think honestly you could have held off on those running backs after that. I think drafting those three, while Eckler being your keeper, I think you could have held off and just went all other position sleepers, all that stuff. But Matthew Stafford, you held off until like the 10th or 11th. I think you might have been like 11th round, to be honest, before you got your quarterback, which is a staple of this pod. Hold off on your quarterbacks. Mike Evans, DJ Chark, the big question mark. Will he be able to Jameis Winston and Chris Godwin it up when they're losing by a lot? Or is he the only option and they'll just swarm him and make someone else on that Jaguars offense beat him? Zach Ertz, great little tight end, although he will burn you because of Dallas Goedert. I found that out a lot last year. But Jarvis Landry, I think, might be your best bench player. Can definitely sub him in for DJ Chark, or even if Bell ends up kind of flaming out, you can put Landry in there. I like your team. I thought when you were drafting it, I liked your team. I have no issues whatsoever with any of your players. Maybe your kicker. But I think...
Who is my
exactly. Young Wei-Koo. The Chargers, a legend who got cut after 3 games. I have no issue with their team. I think it's better than the ones we've seen so far. I think you have the capabilities of exploding for a bunch of points. I mean, Barkley and Eckler right there. I mean, half PPR. You should be able to get 40 points from those two. Hopefully every week, but Barkley's going to be a monster. What are your qualms with it? Or are you just being, like I said, humble, showed a little humility with it?
No, I think my running backs are solid. The Chark pick was the one that kind of, I don't know, I felt like I was trying to go a little bit more upside at the wide receiver position on a week-to-week basis, and that's why I ended up with Evans and Chark and then had Landry as kind of the safe option to sub in. But it's going to come down to Chark and Lev Bell. If Lev Bell is better than last year, I mean, I really don't even need him to be better than last year. If he's the number 21 running back, that's fine. You know, he'll put up his 10 to 15 points every week, and that's fine. If he's better than that, awesome. If he turns into an RB1, great. I have the stalwarts, you know. Mike Evans, hopefully, you know, he's good. He's a beast. But it's just a lot of it. I think you're right. I never go tight end as early as I did. So I'm looking at Zach Ertz more as like my wide receiver 2 and Chark as kind of like my wide receiver 3 almost. So Ertz is my forgotten man. I got him, I think, in the 4th or 5th round. So I liked the value there, all things considered. So the team has question marks. It has potential. We just have to, you know, we got to see it on the field.
Yeah, I think let's see. Now this is the best part. I want to compare him to this next team right here. Not even close. A team I feel like that changes owners every year, but maybe not. I guess it's Troy. I don't know who Troy is. Russell Wilt. Yeah, see, I already like your team better than this team. So it took me 2 seconds to say that because this person's third option is John Brown. So it's Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods, Derrick Henry, Sony Michel as their second running back. And after that, it's literally J.K. Dobbins and A.J. Dillon. So good luck with that. Travis Kelce, similar tight end situation. Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So just to kind of compare and contrast to your team, I like your team better than their team. I think just the Sony Michel and John Brown. John Brown's great. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I think having him when you probably maybe could have had a better running back since they have Sony Michel as like the second running back might have been a better option. What made you put this team over your team?
I think there's a good core. But now that I look at it.
Oh, here we go.
I would put Bluey ahead of this team.
Ooh.
For one reason that kind of dawned on me now. Sometimes we just rattle through the names and you're like, oh, I like that name. Great name. Kelce and Tyreek Hill on the same team.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, the offense, we expect it to be high-flying, gunslinging, scoring points, but you kind of cap your upside a little bit. Like, you're not going to get two people with 25 points likely on any given week. I mean, knock on wood, it's the Chiefs. Who knows? So I kind of saw it as I love Russell Wilson. Tyreek Hill could explode for 30 on any given week. Robert Woods is a great kind of second wide receiver to balance that on a week-to-week basis for those lows with Tyreek Hill. Yeah, running back is not great. It really comes down to J.K. Dobbins, probably, right? If he develops into a solid running back 2, this team's great.
Hope not.
I don't know why, I mean, Cam over Russell. Is there a world where Cam even is better than Russell Wilson in his best? I don't know. Maybe that's just trade bait, but why draft Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah,
Debo could develop into a good flex for him as well. I think it's comparable to my team. I'd probably put Bluey. All of us are kind of in that same range. Maybe not even close at the bottom of that range.
All right, who's next on the rankings that are about to change?
Ooh, rankings. How high can we get Bluey up? Yeah. Captain COVID coming in at number 6. This is J-Bell, the commish. Lamar Jackson, Scary Terry, A.J. Brown, Aaron Jones, Jordan Howard, George Kittle, Philip Lindsay. I mean, it's Lamar Jackson. We love Scary Terry. A.J. Brown could blow up on any given week based on last year, but again, second-year tight end. And then George Kittle, who I think you're down on. The running backs, I mean, he's playing that Miami carousel, which may or may not be fun. Josh Gordon, wow, on the old Bencherewski there. James White, half PPR, not as great. Jameson Crowder as well in a half PPR, not as good. I think there's some high upside guys on this team. And he's got Lamar Jackson. So that's good. But running back is definitely an issue. Come at me, Will, and say that you hate this team.
So, funny, Dave Sheridan has been texting me. You know, we text a lot more now. He's, like I said, he's come a little bit down from his trolley behavior. And he made a good point about Terry McLaurin. We all like Scary Terry, but Scary Terry's first 5 weeks is scary. Like, I don't know if he's going to put up any points in his first five games. Eagles going up against Darius Slay. Arizona Cardinals going up against Patrick Peterson. Cleveland Browns going up against Denzel Ward. Baltimore Ravens going up against, what is it, like Jimmy Smith and just all their good defensive backs. Week 5, LA Rams going up against Jalen Ramsey. So those are his first 5 weeks, and of course his quarterback situation, not the greatest. So having him as your number one just to kind of start off might be not great. Aaron Jones, obviously a good running back. Thing is, though, during the live draft, he took George Kittle, and we were all, you know, we were all zooming with each other, and I was like, ugh, I kind of made like a weird face, and I was like, uh-oh. Because his team already was kind of thin with Lamar Jackson as a keeper. Then he went Aaron Jones, and then George Kittle. And on the way back, I told him, I was like, you're going to be scrounging for some running backs. And then he went McLaurin Brown to kind of make his next couple round picks. So you can see what happened to him. Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, Philip Lindsay, he kind of McKissick, I guess, James White, just a bunch of players that he hopefully will be able to fit in if Jordan Howard doesn't work. I think I liked A.J. Brown. I think I would have been more comfortable if he went A.J. Brown and then maybe a running back instead of Terry McLaurin, but Jeff, I don't know if I like him more than Bluey.
Whew. Bluey's moving up in the rankings. Yeah. Bottom line, that's what I've established. I think the question marks be darned. The top five are too good. I mean, his top five destroys this team's top five. So, you know, mistakes are made, and that's why we're in preseason form. We're not in full season. It
hasn't started
yet.
Hasn't started.
And we'll know a lot more after tomorrow. Number five.
I mean, we'll know there's one game tomorrow.
For two teams. For two teams, we'll know a lot more.
Yeah.
Coastin coming in at number five. I mean, if this was a couple years ago, I mean, just give him the title right now. I mean, he's got Jack, Davante Adams, Will Fuller the fifth, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Jonnu Smith, Michael Thomas. He's also got Kareem Hunt, just signed a big deal. Keyshawn Vaughn, who knows? He's got Austin Hooper as a tight end as well. Who knows what will happen in that situation. I just felt like this was a solid team. You know, top to bottom, Jonnu Smith or Austin Hooper. You kind of just see what happens there. Play it week to week. A couple of decent options at tight end. Will Fuller with the upside. I mean, I'm probably higher on Gurley than you are, and you hate Melvin Gordon, mm-hmm. so that kind of will show your perspective there. I'm guessing you don't like this team as much, but does Bluey come above this team?
This team, I think just with Todd Gurley is just so unknown for me, personally. Like, I really can't – I just don't know what to expect from him. If he is an average running back, I think this team is okay. Melvin, I just, you know, I hate Melvin. The Jonnu Smith love is a little crazy. Will Fuller, I can get after. His three running backs are great. I mean, sorry, wide receivers are great. With, like, aforementioned Michael Thomas, Will Fuller, Davante Adams. His just running backs leave a lot to be desired for me, but I can see where this team has a really good floor. And if Gurley and Gordon are just average, if they get you 12 points each, then I think this team can be really good. So I'm comfortable getting. And besides, you have them ranked what, fifth? Is that what it is? Sixth, fifth, which is, you know, playoff team near the middle. Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with this one. I would think I would have maybe Bluey and Coastin fifth, or Bluey up to sixth, Coastin at five.
Alrighty. Let's get to Team Boomer Bust at number four. Mm-hmm. The man, 50-1, I don't know, 35-1 bet on the Cardinals. And man, does he have a bunch of Cardinals on his team. This is Muff Vlad himself from the intro. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, Kenyon Drake, Raheem Mostert, Jared Cook, and Hollywood Brown. He's also got Kerryon Johnson on the bench. And pretty much no one else of note. Chris Thompson, the Jaguars pass catching running back, who knows what his role will be now that Leonard Fournette has exited the building. I mean, I feel like this team could score 150 points or could score about 60 points. I don't know what your thoughts were.
His running backs, yeah, I mean, he was tormented from picking these running backs when he was drafting. Kyler Murray, we've kind of talked about him a lot this year. I don't know how to feel about him yet. It is a good stack, though. But yeah, the Cardinals stack, he's hoping it's only DeAndre or Kenyon Drake who get these touchdowns from Kyler Murray, because if Larry Fitz or Christian Kirk get a couple touchdowns, that's going to ruin a week for him. Points-wise, not a big Hollywood Brown guy. Kerryon Johnson is his backup running back. He's got Chris Thompson, who actually ended up making, you know, his flex position worthy at some point.
Yeah.
Just because of all the catches he might be getting in a half PPR. Boomer bust it is. Like Mostert, who knows? Is he going to be going off for these Niners? Ultimate boomer bust. I agree. This is just who he is as a drafter. And it usually works out for him.
Yeah. He usually makes the playoffs and then flames out in about fourth. So.
Wow. But just enough to keep him in.
Yeah. Just coming back every year. Number three, another person we are drafting with on the old Zoom, probably has to update the name in that it's Impeach Trump. Aaron Rodgers, DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson, Mark Andrews, and Brandon Cooks. He's got David Montgomery, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jackson. He's got a bunch of upside or backups or things that could break on his bench. I really need to just rethink my life in these power rankings because this team's good. This team's good. I think it was the Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson. If Chris Carson is healthy and solid for the year, I mean, those are some stalwarts. I like Brandon Cooks, although, you know, he's a little bit banged up.
We'll find out tomorrow.
DJ Moore and DK Metcalf could provide week-to-week upside, and then Aaron Rodgers should be better. We'll see what happens.
I'm not sure how I feel about DJ Moore. He's another player that the Panthers wide receivers just kind of confuse me right now. They have Teddy Bridgewater, so not a lot of confidence right now. DJ Moore did score a lot of points last year somehow. I guess just very quietly had a good year last year. So will he do it again? Maybe. You're right. His running backs are great. Cook and Carson. I can see him having CeeDee Lamb play instead of Brandon Cooks once the season kind of gets underway. But, you know, yeah, I don't know if I would call this the third best team, Jeffrey.
Week one is going to be interesting.
Yeah, these rankings might be upside down next week.
Yeah. I mean, who knows who's going to be in that flex spot this week if Brandon Cooks is not ready to go. Mark Andrews, another guy I'm not big on, but has potential in the tight end spot as well. Let's get to number two and number one, the big dogs. My perennial favorite in this league because of his keeper, which will be done after this year. Thank you. Throw him back, Chalmers.
Thank God.
I just think you look at everyone in a starting roster and they're solid.
Yeah.
And he's got options on the bench to fill in. We got Matt Ryan, Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kamara, Waller, and Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
He's got Devin Singletary and Marvin Jones who can fill in. He's got Latavius as a backup. You know, Blake Jarwin, we spoke about him too much. He's got DeSean Jackson late who could be good early on while he's healthy. I think it all comes down to Clyde Edwards, whether this team is good or great. Mm-hmm. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire like lives up to his draft value, I mean, this is going to be another competitive team for Chongers. Half PPR, you know, there's depth, there's upside. There's also a solid floor with a lot of these players. I think it's a balanced roster. I really like Chongers' team.
Yeah, this team is great. There's really nothing else left to say. I mean, for your three wide receivers to be Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, Keenan Allen. I guess people are starting a little more question marks about Keenan Allen only because it's Tyrod Taylor. So, like, how is that going to be impacting his fantasy value? But in a half PPR, I still think Keenan Allen will get you 6 for 60. You know, which will get you 9 points, you know, as your third wide receiver, with the, you know, obviously potential for touchdowns and like that. And like you said, Marvin Jones can go in there if he needs to, or he can set Devin Singletary. Like, Devin Singletary is on his bench right now, like you mentioned. Like, that's not even a guy he's planning on playing. And that might be swapped out this week or at some point in the future. So, strong team, from Brandon Chong, as usual. Chongers and bongers. I mean, class act. Class act.
Always. But let's get to my favorite
team. Can't wait.
Your team. Stability, upside, depth. I think the only person who can beat this team is yourself, Will.
And we know that's possibly going
to
happen.
Top to bottom. You got Big Ben slotted in your old QB spot. You got OBJ, T.Y. Hilton, CMC, Nick Chubb, Evan Ingram, Mark Ingram. You got TB12. You got a bunch of Diggs dudes on your bench. You got Marlon Mack, Jerry Jeudy, Antonio Gibson, Preston Williams, Joe Burrow. The thing I like on... You have three guys on your bench who are definite fill-ins, mm-hmm. in Brady, Diggs, and Mack. You got Jeudy, Gibson, and Preston Williams, who could turn into high upside guys, or they're droppable after a couple weeks. You know, so you like that balance on the bench, and then you get to the starting lineup. I mean, you're a Diggs dude, and you got him on your bench. You got T.Y. starting this week, and maybe you're just playing the matchups. Maybe you're in your head already.
Oh, great.
But... I think another person outside of us maybe would look at OBJ and T.Y. Hilton and Stephon Diggs and see a lot of risk there. Mm-hmm. I think we like those players. We see their upside. Also, people would look at Nick Chubb and maybe be a little bit down on him given the Kareem Hunt deal that just happened. But we both like him. You got Mark with a K, Ingram in that old flex spot. I love it. Yeah. You're number one, baby. At least to start in the preseason before the games even play.
So last year, I loved my team, and you could say like, oh, the only way your team sucks is because of manager, right? Well, last year I got boned by two different players. When our draft happened, I drafted Damien Williams before they signed LeSean McCoy, the Chiefs. I drafted Duke Johnson before the Texans signed Carlos Hyde. So I got boned with my two players just right off the bat. This season, my players, the only way Nick Chubb gets a little hurt is if they play Kareem Hunt a lot more. And they played him a decent amount last year. And they still both did very well. So there was no real thing there. Mark Ingram, could J.K. Dobbins threaten some time? Yeah, at some point. But I knew that when I drafted Mark Ingram. They ain't signed Leonard Fournette just now. So I'm comfortable with that. The quarterback situation, this is the year I'm not getting burned. I waited, of course, which is what I should do, but then now I have Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, and Big Ben. I am not going to get sucked by, you know, garbage quarterback play. Same thing happened in a two quarterback team league last night. I'm not getting burned. So hopefully these players can pan out and keep me above water. But like we mentioned with all these other teams you just ranked, we don't know anything, and this time next week, everything could be upside down. So, yeah, that's that. Jeff, we have a lot more on here, and I already wrote on a couple things. Podcast League, we're doing tonight, but we're planning on recording that as we can go over that. What I want to do with the matchups of the week is I want to copy and paste this and put this onto our league message board. So that way people can kind of look at that instead of just talking about it on this pod and boring people even more with our own personal league. Because we got the power rankings, we got personal leagues that of our own. But we also want to do this for your personal leagues and give you guys some power rankings and unbiased kind of matchups. So that's kind of like our next little plug here. Just give us some info, guys, ladies, guys, whatever. We have emails, Twitters abound, allthefeelsfantasy@gmail.com. Look us up on Twitter, ATF Fantasy. Well, at ATF Fantasy, can't forget that. Send us a little note and we will do a pod, or we will do some personal notes and rankings of your league, to kind of just see how you guys like it. And we'll kind of do own personal stuff. You know, people do Cameo and all that garbage. Well, we're actually going to spend time and effort into looking at your leagues, Jeff. And I think that's the next big thing for us, Jeff. Anything else? We went over a lot of stuff tonight. Tomorrow night, there will be a football game. Tonight, there will be a draft. I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to rock.
Let's go, baby. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I got my work league draft starting in about an hour.
Oh, so maybe wow.
We'll get into that. We got a lot. Love to hear from you. Reach out. Interact with us. Like, share it. Get into it. Tell your friends about it. We're making it happen here at All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Peace.
All right. Peace out.